talking about overcoming objections. And so what we've been doing over the past couple of weeks is we've moved out of theory and now we're moving into practice. We're actually talking about what's going to happen if you start a conversation with somebody and you're talking to them, you're trying to lead them to the Lord. And so remember, I've told you already, you know, when you're starting that conversation, the best thing, you know, sometimes you're forced. You just have to go to somebody and say, are you lost? Or you need to be saved. Yeah. But rarely is that the case. Normally, you know, more often than not, you just start a casual conversation. And if you know, if you'll use some wisdom and if you'll be prepared before you get into that situation, you'll start to discover there's ways that that conversation can be turned toward the Lord and toward salvation. And we've talked about all those things already, of course. But as we were getting into the lesson last week, we're talking here about overcoming objections. I mentioned that there's going to come a point, no matter what you do, the devil will see to it. And he's got a lot of principalities and powers, according to that Bible, who are helping him. And they will see to it that the idea will be popped into that lost man's head or a distraction. Something is going to happen that is going to raise an objection to either you or to what you're saying. And most Christians in that instance, when they get asked a hard question or the lost man makes a tough statement that's hard to respond to, most Christians are just going to go, okay, and just be done with it and go on. And that's exactly, I believe, what the devil wants. So what we have to be ready to do is be the Christian who doesn't do that. We have to be ready to dodge that oncoming train that's heading towards. We have to be ready to kind of go around that objection so we can keep pressing toward that mark of leading that person to Christ. And so I finished up last week. We looked at an example there in John chapter 4 of what Christ did. And I gave you one just very, very easy way to answer objections. Now, it does not work every time, but it is a pretty good one, and that is, that's interesting. When somebody says something absolutely off the wall, like, I don't believe that reality is real and that we're actually living in a dreamlike state or something like that. You know, people will say weird things. You talk to weird people sometimes. And you would be amazed at very highly educated people, very successful people, are sometimes nutty as a fruitcake. And so you got to go to them. You got to be prepared for that weird off-the-wall statement they're going to make to you. Don't buy into it. Don't feed into it. Just say, oh, well, that's interesting, and continue on with whatever you were doing. That way you're not insulting them, but you're also not acknowledging anything they just said. Now, like I said, it does not work every time. And so you've got to still have some other methods. So here's what we want to talk about today. You know, you're going to be asked some things. How can I trust the Bible when there's so many versions of it? That's one that I've had brought up many times. I read that Jesus was married to Mary Magdalene. You know, those Dan Stevens novels, the Da Vinci Code and all that stuff. You know, people read that, they hear about it on the news, and they take it as gospel truth, even though there is literally not a shred of evidence in any Bible anywhere to suggest that Jesus Christ was married at all, much less married to Mary Magdalene, as the crazy conspiracy theorists try to portray it. But people have heard those things, and they think that they're smart because they know that, and they think you don't. Don't let them feel that way. As long as they think that you're just a dumb hick that doesn't know anything about you know, educated society, they're going to use you as an excuse to not listen to what you're having to say. So what do you say? Well, here are some ways you can get around it. If you do know the answer, say they ask you a really tough question, right? Maybe you don't know the answer. Now, I think most of us probably know the answer to this, but let's say they bring up, how do you even know if the Bible's true? There's so many different Bibles out there. How do you even know? Well, let's say you don't know the answer. Let's just assume for a moment. One thing you can say is, well, maybe there are, but acknowledge what they said, move on. That's one way to get around it, very simple way. That's interesting. Yeah, that doesn't work in that case. But you say, well, maybe that's the case. Well, maybe you're right, but, and keep on going with the gospel, right? Another way is to say, you know, I'm not really sure about the answer to that one, but I'll be happy to get you an answer if I can follow up with you. But let's stay on the topic we're on. Let's continue talking about what we were at. You know, what were we talking about? Get them back onto the subject. That's perfectly all right to do that. I'm not an expert on everything. If somebody says, you know, well, Albert Einstein said, blah, 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 what do you think about that in the middle of the conversation? I'm going to go, he had weird hair. That's all I know. You know, I don't know much about Albert Einstein. So, that being the case, sometimes you have to say, I'll be happy to get you an answer for that. But let's go ahead and deal with this right now, right? Now, if you do know the answer, and by the way, if you've been doing this a while, you ought to start knowing the answers. There's no excuse for going years and never really searching to find the answer to help people, right? And the Bible says we ought to be ready to give an answer to any man, to every man, for the hope that is in us. So you ought to start, and soul winning is actually a great way to build your own curiosity and let you get in the Word of God to learn how to answer those questions. And so here's a couple of things to remember. If you do know the answer to their question, always begin your response with the phrase, "That's easy." And here's why. Because to them, it's not easy. And what you're doing at this point in the conversation is you are establishing that you know more than they do here. And that's not a bad thing. They need to know that they're going to trust you enough for you to lead them to Christ, right? I mean, I know everything, but on this, oh, that's easy. So what happens? Somebody comes up. Here's one that they like to spit out. Well, what about Cain's wife? Where did Cain get his wife? You know, that they love that one. Because, you know, Cain, it was the first child of Adam and Eve. So where in the world could he have possibly gotten a wife from? Well, there is a very, very good biblical answer. As a matter of fact, if you turn over there, I believe about Genesis chapter 4, it talks about the fact that Adam had many more sons and daughters than just Abel, Cain, and Seth. And then they'll say, so he married his sister? Yeah, what's it to you? Okay, let's move on. And then you go on with the conversation. But the best way you can do it, well, what about Cain's wife? Oh, well, that's easy. Turn them to the verse, show them, if you know the answer, right? If they say, let me give you another one. We'll go back to it. Well, let's see here. I've got several examples written down I got to choose from. Let's say they get in there. Let's say the Bible version thing. There's so many Bibles out there. There's so many different denominations. How can you possibly know what's right? How could you possibly know that? Oh, well, that's easy. God has given us a standard to measure things by in the Bible. Now, why do you say that's easy? Because they think they're going to stump you because they've stumped other Christians with those questions. But if you know the answer, let them know. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. That's so simple. Here it is. You say, well, that's going to make them feel bad. In this situation, that's actually going to become a good thing. Because what they're going to see is, I'm losing this. This guy clearly knows more. This lady clearly knows more than I do. I might actually want to pay attention to something they have to say. You're not mocking them. You're not being smart. You're not doing any of that stuff. You're just making very nicely with a smile on your face, oh, well, that's easy. Here it is, right? And so you establish that you do have some authority on this issue. Most people say those sorts of things because they think they've heard something that you're not aware of. The truth is that if you're a Christian, and especially if you're a soul-winning Christian, you've probably heard about all of it at a certain point. You've heard almost every little tough thing they're going to say. Now, there is one last thing they do, and that is shocking responses. Things that are said to shock you out of talking to them. And one of them is, I'm an atheist. You ever gotten that one? Oh, I'm an atheist. Now, the reason they say that doesn't mean anything. So we can't talk about the Bible because you're an atheist? Right? That's what they're trying to put across. There's no rule book that says you can't do that. So they say, I'm an atheist. The reason they're saying that is to get you to hush. And the reason they're doing it is because it's worked in the past. They'll go to some Christian and say, hey, can I leave you with one of these? Oh, I'm an atheist. And the Christian just goes, and doesn't have anything to say back. Be prepared to say something back. You say, what do I say? They say, I'm an atheist. You say, oh, that's interesting. Tell me about that. Let them talk. Or you can say, well, hey, you know, it's a free country. You're welcome to concede to them. But say something to keep them going because they think they're going to shock you out of talking. They may say, I'm Catholic. I had somebody one time that I handed something to and they said, I'm Catholic, right there on their doorstep. And I said, that's fine. Are you a saved Catholic or a lost Catholic? They say, well, you Baptists, you just think every Baptist is saved. I've had them say things like that. I said, oh, no, you got me all wrong. Most of the Baptists I know are probably lost. I said, I don't think that going to any church keeps you saved. I think that knowing Jesus Christ, your Savior, makes you saved. Do you know Him? Don't sit there and just say, well, hold on just a minute. I'm going to defend the Baptist faith. I don't, who cares about the Baptist faith? Lead them to Jesus Christ. Lead them to Jesus Christ. Say, well, you Baptists, I know I've met a lot of lousy Baptists myself, but let me tell you how good Jesus is. See what I'm saying? They're going to say things to try to shock you, maybe even insult you. You got to let those things go whoop right off your back and keep going on for the Lord. It's far more important to reach them with the gospel. They'll say, I'm gay. Say, okay, well, we can still talk about the Bible, can't we? Well, that Bible says this. Well, all right, let's turn to it and look at it. Right? You can do anything, but have something prepared that you can say to get around that objection that they're going to give to you. And so, like I said, most of these things, the idea is to get you to hush, to get you to not be able to say anything else to them that they don't want to hear. You have to be wise as serpents, harmless as doves. You've got to be a little bit crafty and be able to just go and dodge it, and then dodge that one, and then dodge this one, so that you can get to their heart. Right? We all good? I didn't give you a memory verse last week, but I'm going to give you one this week. And pardon me, I got back to looking through my notes and I did not see it, but I have this verse memorized already. And if I have already mentioned it, y'all tell me, because I don't have it in my notes that I've mentioned. But Romans 10:13. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Did we memorize that one in this class already? I thought we did Romans 10:9. We did 10:9 and 10, I thought. The reason why we didn't, okay. Somebody said, yeah, I don't think we've done 13 yet. And the reason why we're doing 13 this week is because up to this point, we've been looking at why a person need, we've been giving verses to show a person why they need to be saved. We've been giving verses to show a person how to be saved. Now we're actually getting to the point where you got a verse to be able to use to lead them to Christ. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. If you'll call upon the name of the Lord, you'll be saved. It's a very simple one. I'm trying to go easy on y'all a little bit because I'm going to hit you with a real hard one at some point. But, so Romans 10, verse 13. Am I right on that? Okay. All right. So it's a real brief one. And I know it's very close to one we've already memorized, but it'll still help you as you get close to kind of closing the deal and leading somebody to Christ. Everybody good? All right, that's all I got.
I wish you had it in print on the computer because we don't have the sound.
Well, that's...